Before we would continue with the 18th chapter, let us summarize the 17th chapter. Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogaha. So the 17th chapter, it begins with a question from Arjuna based on the last statement of Krishna in the 16th chapter, where Krishna said, Tasma chastram pramanante karya karya vivastitau jnatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartu miharhasi. That's what he said. Arjuna, whatever sadhana you are doing, all of them must be based on shastras. It cannot be away from shastras. It should be in keeping with the shastras. And the shastra prescribes karyam, what has to be done, and akaryam, what should not be done. And accordingly, you have to govern your life based on them. When this statement was made at the end of the 16th chapter, Arjuna gets a doubt and he asks a question which he puts at the beginning of the 17th chapter. And what was the question? Suppose a person is sincere and faithful but ignorant in scriptures, and when such an ignorant and faithful person follows sadhana, what type of category he will be? Will he be considered as sattvic sadhaka, or a rajasic, or tamasic sadhaka? And answering this question, Krishna started from the second shloka and he answered this question up to the sixth shloka. And here Krishna divides the person's activities into three types, because the shraddha also is of three types. Because if a person is ignorant of the shastras, his faith will be governed by his prakriti, by his own subhava, by his own nature. So swabhava is threefold, therefore shraddha is threefold, therefore his sadhana also will be threefold. So Krishna talks about three types of shraddha based on three types of swabhavas. And from the type of pujas or any sadhana, the type of shraddha can be inferred. So he answers Arjuna's questions in the verses 2 to 6. And even though Krishna's job is over, he gives some bonus information also in the from the 7th shloka onwards, where he takes four more topics actually and divides them into three categories up to the 22nd shloka, 7 to 22nd shlokas: aharaha, yajnaha, tapaha and dhanam. So food, worship, austerities and charity. And then on, from the 23rd to the 27th shloka, Krishna talks about the meaning and purpose of Om Tat Sat mantra. What is the meaning? That we already saw in detail. Of course, Krishna does not give the meaning of Om and Tat, but Krishna gives the meaning of Sat. So, five meanings he gave. And what is the purpose of this mantra? The purpose Krishna does not mention at all. He only said that the Om Tat Sat mantra has been used by all the people in our tradition up to Brahmaji. It has been in vogue for a long time, that alone Krishna says. So it has been traditionally used, that much Krishna says. He never says what is the purpose. That we get from Shankaracharya and other commentators. And what is that? It is said, if a person has got faith, devotion and selfless, if he is, but he does not have the knowledge of the rules and regulations of the shastras, unknowingly, inadvertently, he may commit mistakes also in spite of faith and devotion because of ignorance. And due to such mistakes, his sadhana is bound to become tamasic. Because of what? Vidhihinam asrishtanam, if you remember those shlokas. So once vidhi, they are violated, it will come under tamasic category. So in such a case, how a devotee can convert this defective yajna into an effective yajna? And that method is given through the Om Tat Sat mantra. So in Shankaracharya's language, karmanam sadgunya karmanam sadgunya sampadanartham. That's what Acharya writes in his commentary, making the karma a sadguna karma. So, but this mantra can be used only in the case of Nishkama karma with Shraddha Bhakti. So, if it is not Nishkama And if he does not have Shraddha or Bhakti, then this Om Tat Sat mantra will not be effective. It will not work. So we cannot say, okay, I can do anything I want and say Om Tat Sat. It will work. And having given this from the 23rd to the 27th shloka, in the 28th shloka, Krishna concludes by emphasizing the value of Shraddha. If Shraddha is missing, however efficient the karma may be, however expensive it may be done, elaborate it is done, all of them will be purposeless. They will all become nishprayojana. It will become without any use. So nishprayojana, where Krishna says, nachatat pretya no iha. Neither it will have ihaloka palam in this janma, nor will it have paraloka palam in the next janma. It will be sheer waste of time, money and energy. And therefore, Shraddha is considered very important. Incidentally, we should remember that in the 4th chapter, 9th chapter, etc. also, Krishna emphasized the value of Shraddha. Shraddhavan labate jnanam tatparaha samyatendriyaha. That's what he said in the 4th chapter, 39th shloka. Then, agnyascham ashraddha dhanascham samshayatmam vinashyati. He said again in the 40th shloka of the 4th chapter. And again in the 9th chapter also, Sri Ki said, so, ashradadhana purushaha dharmas dharmasyasya parantapam aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Again, 9th chapter. So, the Shraddha was emphasized in the field of self-knowledge. Very important. Here, Shraddha is emphasized in the field of karma. So, there it was Jnanakanda, that was the topic. Here it is Karmakanda, that is the topic. So, whether it is ritual or listening to Vedanta, in both of them, Shraddha is very, very important. And the advice given us through the 17th chapter is what? Whatever we do, whether it is Aharaha, whether it is Yajna, whether it is Tapas or Dhanam, whatever may be the karma, we have to take to Sattvic type and carefully avoid Rajasic and Tamasic, Ahara, Yajna, Tapa, Dhana, all that. And to connect it to the 16th chapter, when we take to a Sattvic type, then it is called Daivi Sampath, that will increase. And when we avoid Rajasic and Tamasic types, Rakshasi and Asuri Sampaths will go away. And to connect it again to the 13th chapter, where the Daivi Sampath increases, what will happen? Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam, all those values will increase. So what are they called? Krishna gave a special name for all those 20 and odd values. Yetat jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yatatonyata. That's what he said. This jnanam of the 13th chapter will increase. And the Daivi Sampath increase will itself will not give moksha. We have to understand that. If a person has got a lot of values, he may be a noble person, a good person, but it will not give him moksha. But it will help him in assimilating the Vedantic teaching. So Aham Brahma Asmi, when it is taught to him, it will make sense to him. So in the 16th and the 17th chapters, they concentrate on preparation of the mind. And so they come under the Yoga Shastra topic. So whereas the 13th, 14th and 15th chapter, they could come under Brahma Vidya topic. Because at the end of every chapter, what do we say? Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre. Brahma Vidya refers to actual knowledge. And Yoga Shastra refers to the preparation of the mind. So 13, 14, 15, those chapters, they concentrate on Brahma Vidya topic. And 16 and 17 chapters, they concentrate on the Yoga Shastra topic. In the 16th and 17th, Brahma Vidya is not discussed at all. In fact, we can say with this, the whole Bhagavad Gita teaching is over, which started from the second chapter, 11th shloka onwards. Before 11th shloka, you know, it's all conversations and so many other things. Here it is actually completed in the 17th chapter. Then what is the purpose of the 18th chapter? If we ask, the 18th chapter, purpose of the 18th chapter is summing up the whole teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever was taught from the first to the last chapter, 17th chapter, that is all summarized in the 18th chapter. So with this introduction, the summary of the 17th chapter is over, and the introduction to the 18th